As we stand, let us pray. Father God, we thank you that it's only through grace that we can come into your presence. And Lord, help us now to hear what you have to tell us. Help us listen with our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down, and if you've got a Bible, find a Bible if you'd like to find it, and open it back up to 1 Corinthians 15. It's page 174. And we're looking at verses 50 to 58. If you look at our televisions or our newspapers, it seems that we live in a society which lives in a manner which is really epitomised by the John Lennon song, Imagine. He says in it, "Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today." This is almost a bit of an anthem for the years since it was been written. It means that we don't tend to think about what's next. What happens after death? Is there an afterlife? What happens to us? So it means that we live for the moment, as if it were our last. We spend all we have and we get more stuff, which we then spend again. We live a very self-centered life. I know I've painted an oversimplified picture, and you're probably sitting there quite outraged and thinking, well, no, that's not me. But actually, that is us. We live for the here and now without little knowledge or hope about what happens when we die. Is there more to life than this? As much as we try and ignore the question about how what happens when we die, there is a point in all of our lives where we come face to face with it. And that is when somebody close to us dies. We suddenly have to face up to the issue about what happens after death. And sometimes that can be devastating. Marie Curie was undoubtedly one of the most prominent women scientists of all time. She was awarded twice the Nobel Prize. She was married to Pierre Curie, a prominent scientist in his own right. On the 19th of April, 1906, Pierre was run over by a galloping team of horses, pulling a heavy wagon, and he died. In her biography about her mother, Eva, her daughter, described how Marie was devastated by the accident. She clung to Pierre's corpse as it was dressed for the funeral. She kissed him repeatedly, and from that day, Eva said that her mother was a pitiful, incurably lonely woman. For a long time, she wrote notes to him in her diary. Here's one of them. "Your coffin was closed. I could see you no more. We saw you go down into a big, deep hole. They filled the grave and the sheaves with flowers on it. Everything is over. Pierre is sleeping his last sleep beneath the earth. It's the end of everything, everything, everything." This is an utterly heartbreaking story about a woman who made such a contribution to the world and to science, a brilliant mind, but had no hope about anything that was beyond the here and now, what she could see and what she could experience. And it just brought her despair, grief, and hopelessness. For all her brilliance, Marie Curie was like a lot of people today, and missing the truth of the situation. There is hope. There is a future after death. There is more than this. The final passage in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about this and gives us hope and confidence about how we face death. If this is your first sermon on 1 Corinthians, and you've missed the number of weeks, I want to say before that actually it is a bit like a joke, hearing the punchline before you hear the joke or the last pages of the book, that actually I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end before you may have figured out what happened in the preceding bits. because we need to have hope when we face death. Last week, Mark spoke on verses leading up to this, and he reminded us about something. Anybody remember what he said? And not Sharknado. The best is yet to come. Thank you so much. The 915 did better than you, by the way. They actually all quoted it on unison. However, Mark had quoted it twice during his thing. So, the best is yet to come. But what does this best look like? Well, the first thing I want to come from the passage is that death is not the end. Verse 50. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all die. We will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This passage gives us hope and confidence that death is not the end. Here Paul is saying the best is yet to come. When the last trumpet sounds, this is a picture often used in the Bible of one of God drawing things to a close and starting something new. So at the trumpet, Jesus will come back again to earth as he's promised. And we, the people of God, will be raised and changed. What will happen is, he said there that actually that the dead and the living will be changed. It's not about the fact that it's just for the dead. The dead will rise and the living will be changed. Not in a gradual way over time, but in an instant. The twinkling of an eye. It will be done. We will be completely different. So what will that change be? Verse 50 tells us that our bodies, our flesh and our blood cannot inherit heaven because it's perishable. It decays. It ages. It rots. Some of us may be feeling that at the moment. But anything in God's kingdom is imperishable. It will not decay. It will not age. It will not rot. This is built on in verse 54. Because our bodies will be changed. We will, instead of being weak and tired, we will be imperishable. Verse 54, when this perishable body puts on imperishability, this mortal body puts on immortality. We will be changed, so we no longer will be mortal. We will be immortal. We'll be changed, the people of God, into a people who will live forever and be changed forever, to live with God and to live with Jesus. So death's not the end. We can take hope. This is a hope that was missing from the writer J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan. He said, death is the next great adventure. It was from his story of Peter Pan, where he actually created Netherland. He created Netherland to cope with the death of his older brother, age 14. He didn't have a faith which could give him comfort in this tragedy. So he had to try and create an alternative reality. These verses in 1 Corinthians strongly disagrees with that. Because an adventure hints at an unknown or an uncertain. But the Bible is very certain and gives us knowledge about what will happen. There's no unknown, there's no uncertainty. Verse 54. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying which is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. This passage says that actually death has been made impotent. It's been swallowed up by victory. Paul here taunts death. Where is your victory, death? Where is your sting? He's saying death has been defeated, death has been beaten, death is not the next great adventure. It is a vanquished foe because we know it. So how is it beaten? It's beaten because its power is in sin and the law. What does that mean? Well, we're told in the Bible about law, the way that God laid down how we should live, the standards which show us that we are unable to live up to God's standards, which means, if we look at that verse, which is from Romans, which says that actually we deserve death because we sin and we break God's law. But the reason that death is beaten is nothing to do with what we've done and everything to do with Jesus. Because the wages of sin is death. But verse 57 says, but give thanks to God who gives us victory through Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has given the victory over death. He took our place even though he did not sin and by inference does not deserve death. He paid the price once and for all. So all we need to do is to follow Jesus, recognize our sin, ask for forgiveness, and follow God. Then we will have victory over death because Jesus did. We will be forgiven for now and eternity. Then we will have the victory. And unlike Marie Curie, who didn't know or trust Jesus, we can have confidence, which actually robs death of its victory. And it's not hopeless. It's full of hope that leads to eternal life. It's summed up in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the works of the Lord, because you know that God, that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. This knowledge that death is not the end, but only because of Jesus, should give us confidence and surety about what Paul speaks about here. It should give us hope when loved ones die who follow Jesus. It won't take away the pain. It just gives us a hope that they have beaten death and they will rise again and be changed. My father-in-law died 2 months ago after a long battle with cancer. And for all of his life, Peter wasn't a follower of Jesus. In the last 5 weeks before he died, he gave his life to Jesus. His service was one of celebration and hope of a life, and that he'll be resurrected. As a family, we were sad because we'd lost somebody we love. But we have a hope. And it was epitomized mainly, I think, by my son, Josh. And he said, well, it's like this, really. Granddad's gone, but it's like he's gone on a long holiday. And we're going to see him again. Because he has beaten death. Because he followed Jesus. This should give us confidence in our own immortality. If we know and we follow Jesus, we have certainty to look forward to. But it's also a challenge for us if we don't know or follow Jesus. Because it challenges us. If we don't know him and follow him, then by inference we won't enjoy the promises laid out in these verses. That may not be an easy thing to hear, but that's the reality of what these verses is about. It also tells us that we should encourage us that we don't labour in vain. If we are followers of Jesus, we tell people about Jesus and we are offering them a life-changing gift which has an effect beyond our mortal lives. It is a gift which will change eternity. We are inviting people to meet Jesus because we're telling them and we're modelling it with our lives. We are offering them hope of a glorious future. We want people to know and to have hope described in this passage. not the despair experienced by Marie Curie. Death has been conquered by Jesus for each one of us. And we now have to have the confidence to believe that and to tell others or to discover more about this offer that Jesus gives us. Because whatever we do, it has eternal consequences. Today, the truth of these words in these verses needs to set us free in confidence and hope. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the trumpet sounds, we will be raised and we will spend eternity with our Lord and Saviour if we follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the promises held in this passage, that there is more to life than this. Father, help us to have confidence in what we believe. Or help us to seek for the answers that will lead to eternal life. Seek for Jesus in our lives. We pray this in your holy and heavenly name. Amen.